Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
I pride myself in trying to keep it together, although I feel like I don't have a very good track record. I think we might need to sing it. Is that okay? And then I can pinch myself a few times and... But I think it's okay. It might make some of you a little uncomfortable, my tears, but I promise I'll try to wrap them in. Good morning to you. Paul sends his greetings this morning. He's spent a very long week in Valdosta, Georgia, aiding the hurricane, in hurricane relief for Hurricane Helene. He's been there with Dakari and Jake and quite a few other officers in the Atlanta area. And he sends his love this morning, his greetings to all of you. I know he would much rather be here with us. I think it's been a good week for him, an important week. So I just also want to start out by saying that this past week's sermon struck a chord with a few people, not necessarily because of anything that I have said, but I think more on the topic of what was said. There have been a few devotions or Bible studies that people have come to me this week and have said, this is right on key with where we are or with what my studies are speaking about. And all I can say to that is that if that's the case and that's something you want to pay attention to. Like I said, not because of anything that I say. I'm not an extremely smart person. Or the things that come out of my mouth aren't always make the most sense. But I think that God knows exactly where you are, and He can minister directly to your heart and to your soul, even when things are a little muddy up here. And Lord, thank you for that. You know, the older I get, I seem to have less FOMO. Does anybody know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. This dates back to like centuries, FOMO, but we just now coined this term, I think around the time of the pandemic, actually, this term of FOMO, fear of missing out. And part of it might have something to do with being an introvert versus an extrovert. I don't know about all that. But I do know that there's got to be some kind of a correlation between wanting to be a part of things and getting older. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Nate Bargatze. He's a pretty funny stand-up comedian. I think he's hilarious. Don't look them up. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. If you want to check them out, that's fine. But if you haven't heard of him, he explains getting older in this way. So he says, in your 20s, you are down for anything. Whatever we're doing, yeah, I'll go. I'll burn this house down right now. Let's do it. We're going to go. Then there's a transition in your 30s. It transitions to things like, where are we going? How late are they open? Is it loud? And I will be driving separate. And then your 40s, which I'm not quite there, but I'm close. I'm not going, and I'm kind of mad that you thought that I would. Maybe this doesn't accurately categorize everyone. I get these are kind of generalizations. But I think there is something in sharing in each other's lives that there has to be a little extra effort made. Effort that sometimes I just don't want to make. If I can be completely honest with you. I am comfortable in my house, I'm comfortable in my office, and I'm comfortable in my car. And extra effort is overrated. If I put myself out there, I might not be accepted. I might do or say something embarrassing. Too late. I sometimes overshare, or maybe I'm misunderstood, or maybe I think I'm just too good for some of these other people. I like living up in my tower looking down at them. Are any of these feelings something that you have felt in the last few days or weeks? I can put my hand up there. And as I had mentioned last week, the standard Greek lexicon, can you remember what that word means? Vocabulary. For the New Testament, it has four different entries. We talked about two last week. This week, the third, is a sign of fellowship, proof of brotherly unity, even a gift or contribution. And the fourth is participation or sharing. So they all have similarities. There's crossover. But a lot of them, all the four, there is distinction between their definitions. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Old or New Testament? New Testament. And we're looking in the book of Philippians at chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. This is a letter that is written by Paul, and this is what it says in verses 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to be to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. First of all, this is a letter written to the church in Philippi, as Paul was in Rome, and most likely when he was in prison. Paul shared a great affection for the members of this church because they had supported him not only financially, but spiritually on his journeys and when he was put in prison. And they sent Epaphroditus, who brought to Paul a financial offering from the Philippians. And he, Epaphroditus, is mentioned twice in Scripture, both times in this book that we're in right now. Now, Epaphroditus was also the name of a cat that my family rescued on the docks of Juan Cheese, North Carolina. They were doing a bit of traveling, and when they came back home off of the bus, ran off this orange tabby cat that they had named Epaphroditus. And that the only reason that's the case is because my aunt had just been reading in Philippians, and she told the family that she was either going to name that cat Epaphroditus or she was going to name her firstborn child. And my cousin, my firstborn cousin out of that family, Aubrea, is very happy that we named the cat Epaphroditus. And they would lovingly call that cat Paffy. That just so cute. Epaphroditus. Paul sent this letter back with him. That is Epaphroditus, the man, not the cat. To say thank you for what they had contributed, but also to share in examples of what it is to live for Christ. He shares about Timothy and the good that he was doing, and even about Epaphroditus, the man, not the cat, who risked his life visiting Paul in prison and coming close to death with sickness. We then pick up with our scripture that we read just a minute ago. Paul looks at his own life and shares everything that we just talked about. Everything outside of Christ and him living within me is considered garbage or trash. And in the Greek translation, this word literally means dung. The supreme goal in Paul's eyes is to know Christ fully. I've got a cough. Pardon. Thanks. Part of the knowledge is living the suffering that all Christ followers must face. He states that he has a deeper personal relationship when sharing in times like these with him. And he's looking forward to the resurrection received when the followers of Jesus come to their end. And it's not clear, even he says, it's not clear when that end or what that end will be. And it isn't clear for any of us when that time will come. But Paul says, he's here for it. Now, I don't know any of you that might remember the old accounting system for the Salvation Army, the books that were used in the Corps back in the day. I'm happy to say that I don't. However, one of our previous Corps that we have the privilege of shepherding, I opened a drawer one day, and in it was this book that I pulled out and opened. And then it rolled and kept rolling. All the pages kept coming like this. And then I put it back like this and put it back into that drawer and hope never to have to use that again. Today, we use Great Plains, or most recently, Sage, for our accounting system. But back in the day, it was like a huge checkbook. That's it, yes. And everything that you would ever spend, everything that would ever come in, a check or a grant or anything that came in at all, would be accounted for in that book. Which is crazy to think now, but that's what it was. Now, I know each of you in this room, you account for a household, right? And whether you or somebody else in your household does the banking, the accounting. We know that in order to make a debit, a pull out of your account, there has to be, at one time or another, a credit made, correct? Good. I'm glad I'm... You never know. I'm not the finance person, but I think that's the way things should work. And it's very important that these two numbers, at least they should be equal, right? It's always better to have a bit more credit than debit, but they should at least balance out, right? And you definitely want that for the core. And if at any time you create a debit that's greater than your credit, what is going to happen? You're going to go into the negative digits. Very easy how this works, right? Or you'll be overdrawn. Now, Paul gets into some very creative accounting when he states that everything he has acquired in this life, everything he has, the food, shelter, a paycheck, money, your reputation, the latest and greatest video game, the next season of He Said and She Said and who knows what else drama. No matter what the debit side is of earthly success, it is counted as what? Loss. Darn it all to heck if God isn't a part of it. For the sake of knowing Jesus. Don't tell my mom I said that. And not just knowing about Jesus, for the devil knows about him, yeah? But I want to know him in the most intimate way, as Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. Paul wants Christians to understand that suffering can unite not just us to Christ and to make us more like him, but it unites us with one another. So this is gonna sound like crazy talk, but we shouldn't avoid suffering at all costs. Nor should we hide our suffering. No, we aren't setting up a clothesline for dirty laundry in here, but we should be interested in what others are going through. DNA is the code of life. Your DNA defines physically who you are. It not only defines who you are, but it also tells you from whence you came. Your DNA tells you your eye color, your gender, your skin color, your physical capabilities, your ethnicity. And DNA also tells us who the killer is in that docuseries you've been watching. Hopefully not at 10 o'clock at night like I am while my husband's gone. DNA is the center of the physical aspect of being human. Being is important. In our fast-paced world, where we are constantly doing, it is important to remember that we are human beings before we ever do anything. Who we are precedes what we do. And for a community, the DNA is represented in the culture that develops. You can have all the catchy slogans and the positive billboards posted on the walls, but the culture is what people actually know. Your DNA and culture reflect your ethics and values that you live. And it's not just what you talk about. It is a lived and shared experience. Now, if I can suggest something for this week, can I ask you all to come down with a little case of FOMO, the fear of missing out? And maybe not FOMO in the anxious sense of losing my mind because I don't know what's going on. I'm not looking at that. I'm not thinking about it in that way. But maybe FOMO in the sense that I am here for my neighbor and I'm with them and around them enough to know when something is going on. I can share in the ministry of presence based on the Spirit's leading, but also in the ministry of knowing and being known. The early church was more than just a group of people. It was a close-knit family. We see that the early church was connected. They didn't just see each other for an hour once a week or on social media. They met together. And there's nothing wrong with these things, nothing wrong with church, nothing wrong with live streaming, nothing like that. But it's important to live life together. Don't miss out on what is happening with your neighbor. We're going to sing the song we just sang, It Is Well With My Soul. And every time I preach, I don't know if it's just a sensitivity, but sometimes I feel like a hypocrite in some ways, because I know there are so many failures, or there can be so many failures on our end. But thank you, Jesus, for grace. It doesn't mean it excuses everything, or because I didn't say hello to this person or that person, or I didn't pray here. But I'm so thankful that we have a close-knit family like this, where we can share in suffering, in health and wellness, the good times, the bad times, that I'm gonna lose my mind time. We are here for all of those times together. We're gonna sing that chorus. If you like, this place is open for you. It's not a place of requirement, but there is a requirement of meeting with Jesus, and that can happen right where you are. But if you feel like you need to kneel, you are welcome. You are not judged. He will meet with you here. It is well. Good things we offer to you, God. And you are a God of both. Lord, I pray for our people here, God, that you would meet their needs, that they would be known by you, but not just known by you, God, that they would be known by their neighbors. Because in knowing, Lord, and in knowing our needs and the things and all the stuff in our life, God, we are able to share who you are. We're able to carry each other's burdens. We're able to have communion of your Holy Spirit, and that's what we want. God, take the pressure off of having to be a part of every little thing. There's no pressure there. It's just known and being a part of others, God. Help that to translate in our lives. We love you. We want to honor you with the things that we say, Lord, with the things that we do, but mostly with the people that we are. And the other two will just come from that. In Jesus' name we ask, your precious Son. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family.